All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Thessalonians. The book of Thessalonians. All right, some time ago, the last time I preached, I said I was going to do a word-by-word study from the book of Thessalonians. It's truly been a blessing to me, going verse by verse, following pastor's challenge to me. See, he's been on that before I did with his book of Philippians, so I need to join in the book of Thessalonians, so it's truly been a blessing. So I just want to thank you all for bearing with me here as we do my commentary on the book of Thessalonians. And one of the things that I'm reminded of through the preaching of God's word and pastors saying is that we make a commentary on the Bible, we're really making a commentary on ourselves, you know. So as I'm giving forth the word of God, right, the Lord is challenging me, okay. And one of my pet peeves is this, is that I'll try not to, you know, as long as I live, is to water down the word of God to appease my sins, but to give forth the truth. So, thankful for that. So, we're in chapter 2. We covered chapter 1, which is verse 1 through 10. So, we're going to be reading from chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, once again, I'm just so thankful and just honored and humbled, Lord, to stand before you here in your local church, where you are present, along with the assembly here, as we assemble around you in truth, your truth that you've given to us. I pray, God, Lord, that this message will be a blessing to the hearers, not only those who are here, visibly here in our assembly, but even those that are on the stream as well. So we give you all praise and thanks for these things, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So just a brief review. I spoke about in chapter 1, first 10 verses, and there we saw how the commendation of the church was recommended by Paul for his faithfulness and long loving service. And verse 2 through 4, we saw the spiritual receptiveness of this young believing church. And then verse 5 through 6 in chapter 1, we see this exemplary influence of that church as well. And then verse 7 and 8, we saw where repentance, that they were once worshiping idols, now they are worshiping the one true God of hope. And so we saw that repentance coming in. And then verse 9, and then also in verse 9 through 10 as well. As we come into chapter 2, we see here where the Apostle Paul is now reminiscing, okay? This is much like a reminiscing section here, chapter 2. And what is he reminiscing on? Paul is reminding this church, this young, thriving church here, who was wavering, he is reminding them of their characteristics of his ministry, Okay, so we're going to be focusing on the, like I said, the first 12 verses, which I will read now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. We see here Paul writes this letter to these believers here at Thessalonica, for he says, "For yourself, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that we have suffered before, it were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is a witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. Well, we might have been burdensome When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But, verse 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Verse 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. And in verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen? All right. So, one of the things that I've learned right along, a lot of you who are hearing this here, is that our CIA method, you know, your context, interpretation. So you interpret the context and you interpret the passages in light of the context, and then we make the application. So in verse 1, we see here where it says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. So here we see where the Apostle Paul continues in the same general thought, noting how that their coming to the Thessalonians had not been in vain. So the focus of this chapter, chapter 2 that is, however, now shifts. It shifts. Not so much to the Thessalonians, but unto Paul and his missionary team. And we see who's part of that missionary team. Let's go back to verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Okay? So they were part of Paul's missionary team. He goes to great lengths in this chapter to remind the Thessalonian church of the behavior, the decorum, and the character of his missionary team when they were at Thessalonica. What seemingly lies just beneath the surface is how that the Thessalonians were greatly impressed by the demeanor and the virtue and the character of Paul and his missionary team, okay, while they were there. He evidently sought to rekindle that admiration. However, the motive is not for any accolades that they may receive. Rather, the obvious purpose was to stir these potentially wavering brethren by way of remembrance. Sometimes we have to be reminded where God has brought us from. Verse 2. But even after that we have suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Shamefully entreated, or they were treated shamefully, he says to them, as you know, at Philippi. So here we see where he thus now draws their memory back to the circumstances of his arrival at Thessalonica. They had just come from Philippi, where he and Silas had been shamefully treated in their arrest. That is, their beating and their imprisonment for the gospel's sake. So if we turn over to the book of Acts to give you the background, just a reminder of that. Acts 16, I believe that's where it is there. And we see there in verse 12, he reminds them how they were treated in Philippi. We see in verse 12, 16, 12, it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And then you go over to verse 22, we see here that, and the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, that is, they tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into a prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast to the stocks. And then in verse 37, it says, but Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they trust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. So this is the background with he's reminding the Thessalonian church this. Nevertheless, Paul proclaimed that they were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So the word contention, we get our Greek word agon, which we get our English word agony. And every time I look at this verse, some of you older gentlemen, folks here, you remember the Olympics, the commercials would be agony and defeat when they showed a commercial, when they were promoting the Olympics, they would use that agony and defeat. So it always bring me back to that. So that agony or agon, right, gives the sense of conflict and struggle. So what is implied is the opposition that Paul and his missionary team received after arriving at Thessalonica. Nevertheless, they were bold to speak the gospel of God in spite of the trouble that they witnessed anyway. So by way of application, fear of imprisonment did not keep Paul from preaching the gospel. If God wants us to do something, he will give us the strength and the courage to boldly speak out for him despite any obstacles that may come our way. Boldness is not reckless impulsiveness. Boldness requires courage to press through fears that do what is right. How can we be more bold like the apostles? We need to pray for that kind of courage to gain boldness. You see, you can pray for the Holy Spirit's power just as they did. And look for those, as you look for those opportunities to witness to an unsaved person that you may encounter. throughout your day. You could start where you are, okay? Maybe those small things that you need boldnesses. For example, do you pray in public when you're about to sit to eat your meal, giving thanks? Do you have the boldness when you're sitting there in that restaurant to bow your head and give thanks to the Lord? Do you have boldness, or my brother knows one thing that we heard, hold your flag up, that you're a Christian in the workplace, right, amongst the unsaved. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? Well, God can give you boldness in that area. What about leaving Bible tracts? This is what the Lord convicted my heart, because that's something that I used to do that I got away from. You know, when I would go to a restaurant, and they, you know, along with the check, I would leave a tract. So the Lord's convicted my heart in that area. So these little areas, okay, the Lord can give us boldness in those areas. Verse 3 and 4, back in Thessalonians chapter 2. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He goes on to remind them as he reminisces of their exhortation, that their exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor guile. As it to a strengthening, wavering brethren, Paul recalls the character of their preaching. There was no deceit in him and his missionary team. They were not like con men trying to con you. We know a lot of preachers out there that are conning many folks. There were not impure motives. They didn't have any pure motives. There were no trickery. That's what the word guile within them. They were straight as an arrow. Furthermore, as God had allowed them to be, put in trust with the gospel, they so continued to speak. You see, their ministry was not to please men, but God. So the final phrase literally is God who is testing our hearts, right? So we see that word trieth, right? So this participle is translated as trieth, right? And I don't know if I'm saying it right, but dokimenzo, okay, is a present tense implying ongoing action and has the sense of testing and examining, right? That testing and examining, God is still testing us today and examining our hearts as well. So it's ongoing, doesn't cease. By way of application, people become involved in the ministry for a variety of reasons. Not all of them are good and pure, right? When their bad motives are exposed, all of Christ's work suffers. When you get involved in the ministry here at Bible Baptist Church, do so out of a love for Christ and others. Don't do it for wrong motives, because we don't want that to hurt the cause of Christ. And that's one of the things that I've always tried to emphasize those that I disciple. You know, maintain a good testimony. Maintain a good testimony, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be before your neighbors, whether it be before your parents, your loved ones, friends, co-workers, right? Because you don't want to, you know, harm or, you know, the cause of Christ because of our actions. Verse 5 and 6. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul continues noting that they never used flattery to connive. Neither did they have a hidden agenda of covetousness. God was their witness. Neither did they seek the praise of men, or were they financially burdensome to the Thessalonians. Paul reminded them that they in no way were unseemly, inappropriate, or conniving, or less than they're reported to be. They knew it already, but he refreshed their memory. They were wavering, and Paul wished to rekindle their enthusiasm. By way of application, in trying to persuade people, the unsaved, we may be tempted to alter our position just enough to make our message more palatable, or to use flattery or praise. Paul never changed his message to make it more acceptable, but he did tailor his methods to each audience. Although our presentation must be altered to be appropriate to that certain situation, the truth of the gospel must never, ever be compromised. Verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. You see, rather their behavior at Thessalonica was in gentleness, like a nursing mother who cherishes her own children, they likewise longed it for their Thessalonian brethren. So the word translated as affectionately desirous, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that Greek word there, but it has the idea of to long after another. Right? So moreover, Paul poured his heart to these folks. Right? He wrote that they were willing to have imparted not only the gospel to them, but their very own souls. The reason was simple, because ye were dear unto us. He thus reminds them of their love and their concern of them. There was not an ounce of sincerity in them. You see, Paul and his missionary team were like children among the Thessalonians. Does not mean that they were immature or untrained, but rather, Paul was making the point that like children, they were honest. They were straightforward and without guile in their presentation of the gospel in their lives. Verse 9, Paul reminded them further of their labor and travail, calling them brethren. The word translated as labor is the word kopas, which has the sense of weariness of work. The word translated travail, okay, machathos, I believe that's what it is, gives the idea of hardship. So what Paul was implying here, that Paul's business of tent making, as well as the opposition he received from the Jews, he goes on to remind them how they work night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. You see, the greater thought is that they as missionaries sought not to be a financial burden to the ones that they were trying to reach. From that position, they preached unto the Thessalonians the gospel of God. We see this mentioned three times in this book here. The gospel of God. It carries no unusual implications. However, he perhaps wished to remind these young believers at Thessalonica the source of the gospel. By way of application here, although Paul had the right to receive financial support from the people that he taught, he supported himself as a tent maker. Acts 18:3 says, and because he was of the same crafts, right, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupations they were tent makers. That's Aquila and Priscilla. Verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameable we behave ourselves among you that believe. Read that again. He says, ye, which is plural, which he's talking to the Thessalonian church members, he says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameable we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. When I thought about this verse, I thought about the three, part of that missionary team, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, right? Were they leaders of the church? Yes or no? Just speak. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3 reminds us of this, right? Let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. They hold true to what Paul has trained these men to do and how they behave themselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, a bishop then must be what? Blameless. Right? Not that they are perfect, okay, but their testimony needs to be such intact that if someone tried to pin something, it doesn't stick to them. Right? Well, let's go on. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, and of good behavior. Good behavior. Given to hospitality, and then apt to teach. Right? So, what they witness all these characters that Paul has trained Timothy's and other elders, you know, in the church as well. And here we see that example is being exposed. You see, the Apostle Paul continued reminding them additionally of the character of himself and his missionary team. They remain an example of God's servants even to this day as we read it. Moreover, the Thessalonians themselves were witnesses thereto how holy and justly and unblameable that Paul and his missionary team behaved themselves before them. Their character had been witnessed for all to see. Holy, righteous, that is Christ's righteousness, right? And without condemnation. As God's servants, Paul and his missionary team lived a godly, a pure, and a righteous life. No one could accuse them, for they were blameless. That was the qualifications. The Thessalonians knew it, and he reminded them once again of it to strengthen them, or to encourage them of this truth. Verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. As ye know how we exalted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. He then touched upon the character of their preaching. He exhorted, comforted, and he charged these Thessalonian converts. The word translated exhort, and I know this one, parakleo, right, means to what? To exhort. Has a sense of encouragement, right? The word translated comfort, okay, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one, all right? But it has the idea of admonishing or to console, consoling them. Then finally, he used the word charge, right? And he has the Greek word for that, which literally has the idea to bear witness. Probably in this context has the same sense of imploring, okay? So he used the analogy of a father working with his children. To that degree, he encouraged them. He admonishes them. And he pleads with them to do as they ought. You see, we as parents, don't we do the same thing with our children? Right? Constantly, every day. Child, I'm pleading with you. Please hear me out. Listen. Right? You know, all those three different characteristics. This is what he's doing. He's treating like a father to his children. By way of application, no loving father would neglect the safety of his children, allowing them to walk into circumstances that might be harmful or fatal. In the same way, we must take new believers under our wings until they are mature enough to stand firm in the faith. We must help new Christians, these young believers, become strong enough to influence others for the sake of the gospel. That's our job. Any new believers that comes in by way of salvation, that's our job to do that. One of the things that I really like here at Bible Baptist Church is even in the area of training the men, including myself, that we have men here who I witnessed, took them aside, teach them how to preach the Word of God from the pulpit. See, that's what this is about. And I'm so thankful for that. But someone took the time and showed me, gave me the tools. Each of the men here, you know who you are. You all played a major part in my life in that area. And I am so, so grateful and thankful You see, the Lord is preparing us. Right? We've heard the stories, the testimonies, how the Lord has called us out to different churches to preach the gospel, to be an encouragement to other churches, whether it be funerals or whatever it may be. The Lord is preparing us, and to thank the Lord for the men here, okay, who are yielding to the Holy Spirit, taking us under their wings, teaching us, showing us. Thankful for that. And then our last verse, verse 12, the content of their preaching was that you would walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. You see here, God has graciously invited us to his kingdom and to partake of his glory. It is only becoming for us, therefore, to walk worthy of that end. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to live in a way that God would consider worthy. Is there anything about your daily life, my daily life, that would embarrass God? You see, it's hidden home. What do people think of God when they're watching you? Outside of these doors. I'm preaching to myself as well. So here, as the Apostle Paul is laying the work here in chapter 2, we see how the way he carried himself, the leaders there, they were qualified men. And there were qualifications that showed, obviously, to the Thessalonian church members, you know, about their life. What a testimony. That's the type of testimony I want to follow. And I thank the Lord, through inspiration, it is recorded here. It can be done. No excuse. It can be done by God's grace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank each and every one that are listening. So grateful for this book, these believers, these men of God. Paul, Silas, Timothy, being an example to these believers. We here at Bible Baptist Church, who are leaders, not even just leaders, but even just believers, that we can mimic this way of living, godly way of living, righteous way of living. As we reflect and remember, as Paul brings to remembrance of these things, here's reminding us as well in these areas in our lives. And Lord, I'm so thankful for these truths that we're giving. I pray, Lord, that it be a blessing, not only to those that are here in this assembly at this moment, at this place, at this time, but even those who are listening in as well. And we ask your blessings on this in Jesus' name. Amen.